and Steve Dye, who is handing out some written testimony, who is the Juvenile Department Director in Linn County. They're going to explain Senate Bill 126 to you, what it does and why it's needed. But I wanted to introduce myself again to the committee as the representative of the Juvenile Department Directors Association to make sure that everyone understood if they have an issue with that involves juvenile justice matters, that they can contact me in the Capitol, and I'd be happy to put them in touch with somebody who knows the issue and can help guide them through the maze.
All right.
So thank you.
Appreciate it. And Mr. Oglesby, are you starting or?
Mr. Dye.
Mr. Dye. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Stephen Dye. I'm the director of the Juvenile Department in Linn County. I'm here today to testify in favor of Senate Bill 126. Primarily, I'm in favor for this, having come from a system in Idaho not too long ago that does allow for this type of system, and having seen it in practice and see how it can, in fact, lead to parents becoming engaged in the treatment of their child. I can understand why at first glance one might be concerned that it could lead to the alienation of families. However, in practice, and having seen it happen over a number of years, I've come to believe that quite the opposite happens in many cases, and I can cite some specific examples if you so choose. The concept itself is fairly simple. It would allow for the court to impose supervision fees to the parents whenever their child is placed on formal probation. There are already existing laws that allow for the court to provide supervision fees or to impose supervision fees to the youth, as well as an existing law that allows for the court to impose a sum of not to exceed $1,000 to a parent who fails to comply with a condition imposed by the court. I like to view this third option, and again, it is an option, not a mandate, as basically a carrot versus the stick sort of approach. And it works when, for example, if the juvenile department chooses to place a child on a level system type of probation, which means the child and their family advances to different levels dependent upon the accomplishments or the case objectives being met in that level, then they advance to the next level, and the fees that are attached to that level are reduced. And then that can go on, and the system that I'm used to had that I was in charge of supervising was a three-level type system, and each time that a family or youth advanced to a different level, the probation officer would submit the document to the court for the court's approval. However, that I think really depends upon the court and what sort of involvement they want in the signing of those documents. But primarily, it's that fees are imposed, such as parent education, drug and alcohol assessment, or conditions are imposed that require the parent to do that. Once those are completed, they advance to the next level, and their fees are then reduced. So it does provide them an incentive to get things accomplished, and we know in practice, and I think it's recognized by current law, that regardless of whether or not the parents were somehow neglectful or attributed to the reasons the child comes before the court, it is essential that they be a part of the treatment plan and the case plan to assist the child in becoming a successful person and leaving the juvenile justice system. This system also, another advantage to this system is that it does provide somewhat of a user fee. I certainly don't mean to imply, however, that this is going to cover the cost or even a small cost of what it costs to do juvenile justice. My estimation in Linn County, and we're a mid-sized county, you know, I would expect that this would probably generate an additional $20,000 to $30,000 per year, and that's out of a $2.5 million budget. So you could see the fees, in my mind, are certainly secondary to the interest of the child and getting the parents involved in the child's case plan, and in an effort to get them out of the juvenile justice system. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Oglesby?
Thank you. Yes, Oglesby. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Larry Oglesby, Marion County Juvenile Director. I'd just like to highlight a couple of key points in summation. First of all, the goal here with this bill is to engage the parents with the juvenile department, with the court, in working with their youth to work through their issues, cease becoming a public safety risk, and become a successful adult. It is discretionary. It's not required in every case. And the primary tool that I see it being would be for the family where the parents are not particularly invested in working with the system on the behalf of their child. It would allow the court to charge a supervision fee and, in fact, forgive that supervision fee if they comply with the court's orders. The court has the capacity to order the parents to do drug and alcohol treatment, such things as parent training, a variety of other things that will assist their parenting skills, but also assist them in doing a better job of working with that young person. In our department, it's very common for the court to order parent training for parents, and they simply fail to show up. So if this would be a tool that would get them to those classes that are provided that would make them better able to work with their child, that would be a positive thing. The other thing I would just suggest is that as budgets get tighter, and the impact certainly of state budgets will have a residual effect on county juvenile departments, if the projections that we see follow through, this would give us an ability to provide some level of service that we wouldn't otherwise be able to provide. And a classic example is psychological evaluations for kids. We see more and more kids with very complicated issues that need that level of discovery in terms of what's going on with that youth for us to successfully work with them. So this would give us both that goal of providing some resources, but also, and most importantly, engaging the parents in working with us to help their child.
Yep. Questions or comments? Senator Mesker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You had indicated that the court would have the prerogative to reduce fees as compliance is met. Is that what you said?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mesker, or Senator Mesker, yes.
But they would not have the ability to, but once the fee is paid up to whatever point, that would not be refundable, though. Whatever had been paid as a fee would be retained.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, I believe that would be the case. The court has the discretion in its order to fashion that any way it chooses in terms of a payback system. It would probably, administratively, it would not make sense to do it that way. Logically, you'd give the parents, for example, 90 days to complete the parent training. If they complete it, then they don't pay. If they don't complete it, then the payment would be made.
I see. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Question, Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for coming a little late. This might have been discussed, but in the bill it mentions that there's a maximum $1,000 assessment that can be made if there's noncompliance. But is there any kind of ceiling on the amount of the fee that can be charged?
Mr. Chair, Senator Burdick, this legislation mirrors the legislation which is currently in statute for juveniles, and there is not a maximum, I believe, listed in statute for that. It's by county ordinance that you determine what level of fee that you would charge, and then that would be enforced through the court process.
So the discretion is up to the court to determine the amount of fee if this bill passes. Is that what I heard you say?
Chairman Minnis, the initial fee is set by the county. For example, in our county, for the youth, the supervision fee is $50 for the first misdemeanor, $100 for the first felony on a one-time payment. So the county would set the fee. The court would have the discretion to either waive or to reduce the fee.
We're not setting in statute a particular fee amount.
No.
Okay. Thank you. We've got some other folks to testify. Ingrid Swenson.
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ingrid Swenson with the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. We oppose this bill. Many of our members represent juveniles in juvenile delinquency proceedings, and we recognize that it is appropriate to hold youth accountable for their behavior, and at least in my county, Multnomah County, there are projects whereby youth can be gainfully employed in some socially appropriate behavior, like picking up leaves and debris and so forth, earn some money to pay fees and fines and restitution, and that's entirely appropriate. We are concerned that parents need to be partners with the juvenile department in the rehabilitation of young people. And already, parents feel extremely alienated from that system. The legislature has, over the years, passed a number of bills in an effort to require parents to be involved, to require them to participate. But really what it amounts to is a sort of outreach to parents that needs to occur with the juvenile department and the probation officers who work with youth. I think this sends exactly the wrong message to parents, which is it may have been your child who did this conduct, but not only are we sort of blaming you, but we're going to be charging you for our supervision of this youth. And if you don't pay, then, you know, we can exercise our authority to obtain those funds from you. I think, at least in my county, we don't have many middle-class juveniles in our delinquency system. I don't know where they go. I think their parents probably manage to deal with their behaviors in some other forums, which is a good thing. But for the most part, the youth who go through our system come from very marginally economically stable families, if at all. I mean, many of these parents are single parents. Most of them are single parents, fighting housing issues and employment issues and all of these kinds of things. And they don't have the money to put towards probation fees. They often don't have the money to buy their kids' clothes to go to school in and that kind of thing. There is a partnership that needs to take place, and it needs to involve parents in a way that's positive and supportive and helpful to them. They want their kids to do well, and they want help. But I think this is not the way to get it, and I doubt in my county you'd collect very much money anyway. It would be just sending a pretty bad message to parents.
Any questions? Senator Vestal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Swenson, do you feel that, by and large, our judges in these cases use pretty good judgment?
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzger, in my county, they certainly make that effort to use good judgment in deciding when to impose fees, although there certainly are referees and judges who see a piece of legislation that says you can impose these fines and fees, and basically determines, well, that's what the legislature wanted us to do, and so we're going to do it in every case in which we can. The kind of program that you heard described, whereby there'd be a scale of fees, and as the youth succeeded, the fees would diminish and that sort of thing, well, I think a very creative juvenile department could probably do that. Most judges are not going to read that in the legislation and decide that that's part of this picture. They're going to see it as a resource issue, and I think probably impose it in cases where parents can marginally afford it and not in others.
Mr. Chair, one more question. Well, I'm just taking your response. I mean, if we make the assumption that most judges no one is 100% on anything, but if most judges use good judgment on these types of issues, and this is a may, not a shall provision, do you think that there may not be some situations in which the court may decide that as an accountability measure that some parents would benefit from having this this measure in place and some might not?
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzger, yes, I think that's true, although there's already a provision which allows the court to order parents to do certain things and allows a fine basically, if they don't do it, of up to $1,000. So you have the coercive feature there if that's what you want to use. I'm just saying, I think it's a bad message. And I think, you know, early on when the parent, if the parent attends the initial conference with a juvenile court counselor, and if that's part of the discussion, that's just sort of an incentive not to work with the counselor, but to see the counselor as somebody who's, you know, sort of putting the parent on probation as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Ms. Kathy Osborne, Juvenile Rights Project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathy Osborne. I'm the senior delinquency attorney at the Juvenile Rights Project. And the Juvenile Rights Project is also speaking in opposition to Senate Bill 126. As all the previous witnesses have told you, we have in the juvenile code sufficient ability right now, I think, to get parents involved. Parents can be ordered to do parent training, to do their own drug and alcohol treatment if it's determined that their drug and alcohol use or abuse is what's causing the child to come into the delinquency arena. And we also have the ability, if they don't do those things that the court orders them to do, to pay a fine up to $1,000. We also can require from the juvenile court, can require that the parents get their own child into treatment and pay for that treatment. In other words, if the child's in need of sex offender treatment, anger management counseling, or other types of treatment, the county can say to the parent, you have the ability to pay for this treatment, your child needs it, you need to pay for it, you need to get him or her into that treatment and make sure that he or she goes. We have the ability to require youth to pay the supervision fees of their own probation, which is appropriate in many cases, and I think the courts use that ability when it's appropriate to make sure that the youth are taking their probation seriously. We have the ability to require the youth to pay restitution to the victims, and the victims could be the parents, and therefore require, you know, getting the parents involved in that manner. And restitution can be money restitution, or it can be the youth actually performing work for the victim, going and helping them clean their yard or whatever if the victim agrees to such a thing. The juvenile court has a lot of tools in its belt in order to legislate, in order to work with families and make situations work. The one thing we have never, ever, and we will never, ever be able to do in the juvenile code is to legislate good parenting. In my over 10 years experience in dealing with delinquent youth, parents step up to the plate or they don't. And certainly it is better for the youth and for our community if parents step up to the plate. It works, juvenile court works so much better. Now, there are some limited circumstances where actually it's better if the parents don't step up to the plate. The parents have their own drug and alcohol issues that they aren't dealing with, or their own mental health issues that they're not dealing with, or there are issues between the parent and child which are not resolved, and therefore the parent and child are not working together, they are working almost in direct opposition, and oftentimes you can get a triangular effect where the parent's here, the child's here, and the court's here, and everybody's kind of pulling at different directions. Our concern about Senate Bill 126 is that it just adds one more thing for those parents who are not stepping up to the plate to find fault with both their child and the juvenile court. Now, it's easy to say that this is a reason, that the reason that the juvenile departments want this is because they want the parents to step up to the plate and